Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for helping us wake up early this morning to be here. And for God, for bringing us to a place where we can worship you and love you and learn about you. And God, right now we ask that with all the busyness of the weeks and all the stresses on our mind, that you'll calm our hearts and you'll calm our thoughts, and that we can just focus, Lord, that we can hear you speak to us, that we can know you're with us, and that we'll take what you want us to learn today out into the world for the rest of the week so that we can shine for you, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming and joining us here today. It is an hour earlier than it usually is. We're glad that you've come to join us and be part of this time together. If this is your first time with us, welcome. There's a connect card in the pew rack that we'd hope you'd take and fill out. If you're joining us via live stream, welcome. We hope you'll go to the address you'll see on your screen and let us know that you've been here. If you have prayer concerns, things that we need to respond to, put them on that same card or write us that address. We'll try to respond to that. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming and joining us. 4 weeks ago, we started a series on the I Am teachings of Jesus. We're not covering all of those. We don't have time between now and Easter, but we are looking at four of them because they are the four that fit the best the vision that our church has for its future. They kind of fit like a glove right now. The first week we looked at Jesus' teaching, I am the bread of life. We talked about how Jesus is the nourishment that we need for our souls. And we talked about how the church is supposed to be the avenue for bringing that nourishment to the next person in our community. The second week we looked at Jesus' teaching, I am the light of the world. And we talked about how Jesus is the light that can shine into the very darkest of circumstances to give us hope. And how the church is supposed to reflect that light to the world around us, especially to that next generation that's looking for light. They don't always know exactly where to find it. Last week we looked at Jesus' teaching, I am the vine and you are the branches. We discussed how Jesus is the vine that produces that nourishing sap that flows through our lives and flows out to those branches. And we talked about how the church is supposed to produce the fruit that comes from those branches as we try to reach the world around us. This week we're looking at another one of these teachings. It's a famous teaching if you grew up in church, but it's not used as often as some of the others because it's a little deeper and it requires a little more thought to get there, so it's not always looked at. Our scripture comes from John 10, 1 through 11. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief or a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens the door for the shepherd, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his sheep outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Let's pray. Lord, it's easy for us to hear words like this. It's not always easy for us to understand them. We pray, oh God, that you will open our hearts and our minds, that you will offer us the wisdom that we need through these teachings, and that you will plant them deeply within our hearts, that we might be the people that you would have us be, and that we might find the answers that you would want us to find. In your name I pray, amen. 45 years ago this July, I walked through one of the most important doors of my life. I still remember turning the doorknob to go into the sanctuary, the Mount Berry Church. Somewhere around 200 people had come out to see Susan and me get married that day. Susan and I had been friends for a couple of years. We had been dating for about 6 months. But I can honestly say I knew within the first month of our dating that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Susan Harris. And I knew when I walked through that door to the sanctuary that I was making a permanent commitment, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I knew that we were making a commitment for the rest of our lives. I can honestly, sincerely say I've never regretted walking through that door at all. I'd do it again in a heartbeat, and I think Susan would do the same thing. Somebody introduced me a few years ago at an event. I think we'd been married 32 years at that time. And they kind of told that story, and they got up and talked about how we'd been married for 32 years and that Susan said it had been 4 or 5 of the best years of her life. 6 weeks after Susan and I walked through that door, I walked through the door of my first seminary class. And walking through that door was making another commitment. It was one more step in the surrendering of my life to ministry. 27 years ago, I walked through the door of this church. 27 years ago, last Sunday, actually, I walked through the door of this church for the first time as its new pastor. And I don't know how I knew this, but I knew that day that I was going to spend the rest of my ministry here in this church. I knew that I was going to end my career as a full-time pastor, pastoring this congregation. I've had opportunities to go to other places. I've had opportunities to go to bigger churches. I have never once felt led to leave this church. From the day I preached my first sermon in that pulpit, I knew I was going to preach my last sermon from this place, and I have never regretted it, not once. In fact, we're talking about renovating our church, and I'm looking forward to some of the things that we're going to do, but I'm going to miss that. I don't use it very often anymore, but that's a very special place to me. And so not having that would be hard for me. I've thought about cutting it off and taking it home with me, but Susan said no. Folks, doors are important. When you walk through a door, it can make all the difference in the world. Doors don't just determine destination, they determine destiny. And that's why I want to spend a little time today talking about the single most important door that we're ever going to walk through. It's not your usual door. It doesn't have hinges, it doesn't have knobs, it doesn't have locks, it doesn't swing in or out, but choosing this door can determine our earthly destiny, and it can determine our eternal destiny, because walking through that door is the door of Jesus Christ. That is the door we are called to walk through. Stepping through that door is stepping into hope. It's stepping into meaning. It's stepping into eternal life. Missing it can unhinge everything in life, whether people believe that or not. I've said several times during the course of this series that I think people are almost constantly looking to find three doors. They are looking for security, they're looking for significance, and they're looking for satisfaction. They want to find physical, emotional, and financial security. They want to find a life that counts for something that's truly important, and they want to find a happy life, a peaceful life, a content life. Let me just say right up front, there's not one thing wrong with wanting any of those things. There's nothing wrong with wanting any of those doors. The problem is that people are usually looking through to the wrong door to try to find that kind of meaning. The problem is that sometimes we find ourselves searching, but we're not exactly searching where we should be looking, and as a result, we miss the gift of abundant life in the process. A lot of things have changed in 25 years. The last 25 years, certainly a lot of things changed since I started in the ministry 47 years ago, I guess it was. Back in the 1980s and 90s, the books on spiritual growth were the third best-selling category of nonfiction books in America. By 2015, that had dropped by almost 60%, and most of that drop happened after the year 2000 for no apparent reason. Barnes & Noble used to have 8 full aisles that were reserved in their store for Bibles and for spiritual books. Today it's 4, and they're looking at cutting that back to 3. And it's not that people are not looking for answers. It's not that they aren't looking for meaning and purpose in their life. but a huge number of people who used to turn to faith for those kind of answers have increasingly turned to some area of science to try to find it, and they're trying to find the ultimate answer through that, and that's particularly been true since the pandemic. Now, let me go on to say very quickly, I am a firm believer in science. Science is a gift from God. It is a partner to faith. I cherish it. We should all cherish it. There is nothing wrong with science. But the problem is when we try to make science the ultimate answer of life. It's a problem that Dr. James Coleman has studied for years. He is a UCLA professor of psychology. This has been the primary area of his study most of his career. He tells it this way: as the modern day person struggles with the baffling question of his or her own existence, they must eventually come to the observation that science cannot provide the answers to the question of significance. Science can tell us the how of things, but it cannot tell us the why of things. And it is the why of things that lead to the answers that most people are seeking. What Dr. Coleman is basically asking is this: do you feel secure in who you are or in what you have or in where you are going? Do you feel significant within your life? Do you feel like you're giving your life to things that are truly going to matter and that's going to make a difference? Do you feel like that you've found your real purpose for living? Are you content? Are you satisfied? Some of us would be able to say yes to all of those, but if you cannot say yes to all of them, if the answer to any of those is no, then you need to get acquainted with four words that I think will make all the difference. And those four words are, I am the door. Jesus said, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved and come in and go out and find pasture. When Jesus gave that teaching, he was giving it to a group of people who would have known exactly what he was talking about. There were two kinds of sheepfolds back in Jesus' day. The first one was the sheepfold that you would find in town. That's what Jesus is talking about in verses 1 through 5. The town sheepfold was a very large communal pen where shepherds would bring their sheep when they needed to come to town. They would bring the sheep, they would pay for them to stay in this central enclosure, and then the sheepfold had a big door on it, and it was guarded by a man who was paid to take care of the sheep. When the shepherd got ready to leave, he would go back, he would pay his fee, and then he would start calling, the man who was watching it would open the door, then he would start calling out to the sheep, and the sheep would come to him because they recognized his voice. The only sheep who would go were the ones who recognized that particular the shepherd's voice. The others would just stand still. I've got a very short 1-minute video here that gives an illustration of that. We had some cattle when I was a kid, and their cattle was like that with my dad's voice. The rest of us could go call them. They would just completely ignore anything we were doing. Dad could start calling them, and they would come running because they knew he was going to bring them some kind of a treat for them to have. We never made a nickel off our cattle. Daddy spent it all on these cows, named them all, could never take them to slaughter. He just kept the cows till they got old and died, kind of like we do. The sheep would only come to the voice that they recognized. They would only come to their shepherd. If anybody else tried to get those sheep, they were thieves and robbers. That was the first type of sheepfold. The second type of sheepfold was the one that the shepherd would build out in the field. And that's the one that Jesus is talking about in verses 7 through 11. When the shepherd went out into the wild, he usually tried to find a place that had a rock formation that would form a couple of the walls, and then he would build walls to put the sheep in. But what was interesting about the sheepfold in the field was that sheepfold didn't have a door and it didn't have a gate. The shepherd himself was the door. Once the sheep got into that sheepfold, the shepherd would lie down across the opening and he would become the door. He would guard that sheepfold. The sheep couldn't leave without going over him. And then he would put his life literally between the thief that was coming to steal his sheep or the predator that was coming to kill them. The shepherd was the door of the sheepfold and he was the guardian of the sheep. He gave the sheep the three things that they were looking for. He gave them security. The sheep knew that they were safe as long as that shepherd was lying across that entrance. They knew they had significance. They mattered to that shepherd. That's why he was taking care of them. The sheep were satisfied because the shepherd gave them the only two things they really needed for a happy life. That was grass and water. It was pasture. That's what Jesus was trying to say to us in this passage that we're looking at, and it's why we're looking at this in connection with our vision for our church in the future. Our call is to bring people to the door of life. We're called to bring people to the Good Shepherd of the universe because Jesus is where people find the key ingredients to a successful and meaningful life. Jesus is the guardian of our souls. If you turn to Jesus, you're going to discover that you are important, not just here, but in heaven. You're going to discover the opportunity to count for something that's valuable right here and now, and that's valuable to heaven itself. I believe this with all of my heart. Jesus is the answer. He can bring us the joy and fulfillment and hope and life that we are looking for. We need to be leading people to the door that is Jesus Christ because people are desperately searching for everything that this door can give them. Rick Warren used to tell a funny story, true story, about a mother who took her child to the shopping mall. Child was 6 years old. The mother was in a hurry. The child kept lagging behind her, and the child was walking along looking at the floor. The mother finally went back, got her son by the hand, and she said, "Jeffrey, I'm in a hurry. What are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking." He said, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for something to find." That's what we are doing in our lives. We're looking for something to find. I think that's where most people are these days. They want to find something that has true meaning for their lives. They're not always sure where to find it. And the hard part is that they'll choose any door that looks like it might be the answer, even if it doesn't lead them to where they need to be going. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy." The thief is every wrong door that we can choose in life. It's greed, it's egotism, it's pride, it's power, it's jealousy, it's selfishness, it's illicit sex, it's substance abuse. It's all of the things that will suck the joy out of your lives. It might bring us temporary happiness, but it won't bring us the joy that God wants us to have. The thief is anything that will rob us of significance and that will leave us unsatisfied. The thief is whatever will make us focus on anything but God. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." That was Jesus' way of making a difference between an ordinary life and an abundant life. He's drawing a contrast in this passage. He's trying to make us understand that he doesn't ever want the people of God to settle for ordinary. It isn't God's will for us to just have an ordinary life. God wants his people to have abundant life, to have extraordinary life. Why? Because abundant life is the kind of life that changes things and that makes people want to be changed. One of my favorite movies that I have ever seen is the movie Braveheart. It's the story of the Scottish hero William Wallace who went to battle against the domination of the English king on the nation of Scotland. One of my favorite lines in that movie is when William Wallace is confronted with the fact that he may die if he continues to challenge the king of England. Wallace looks at the daughter of the English king who's come to try to reason with Wallace, and he says, "Every man dies, but not every man lives." Jesus is the door to real life, to living. And our calling is to bring people to that door, because choosing the right door can not only guide us to our destiny, but it can also be the difference in life and death. I've read several excerpts here lately from a book that I want to read. I know it's not going to be a warm, fuzzy read, but I still want to read it. The book is called 102 Minutes, The Untold Story of the Fight to Survive Inside the Twin Towers. The book is actually a moment-by-moment account of this heroic struggle that a lot of people had for life inside the World Trade Center on 9/11. There were 14,000 people inside the World Trade Center when those planes hit those buildings that morning. 12,000 of those people survived, about 2,800 of them didn't. And in most of those cases where people did not survive, what made the difference for them was choosing the right door. One group was on the upper floors. They met in the hallway. They were trying to decide which door to go through. Finally, the larger group of the two decided to go through the doorway that led to the elevator. A smaller group decided to take the door that led to the stairwell. The group that took the door to the elevator died. The group that took the stairwell lived. One door meant life and death for all of those people, and the difference was in the choosing of the door. Life really is about choosing the right door, because a door represents separation. You're either on the outside looking in or you're on the inside looking out. If you're on the outside looking in, my ask to you today is to please give your life to Jesus Christ. Walk through that door today. Jesus is the door that can give us a life that is truly worth living. And he's the only door that can bring us meaning and purpose and hope and security and satisfaction. He's the only one that can bring us the love that we truly need in our lives. If you're on the inside looking out, then what I would like to ask is that we try as hard as we can to invite as many people to come and find this door as we possibly can. Let's try to bring people into this church and try to make a difference in their lives. Our church is trying to make our door as wide as it can be, especially for those who have felt rejected in other places. Jesus is the answer to the rejection of life. Jesus is the door, and that door swings open for everybody. That's our message. Let's live it. Let's choose it. Let's move forward with it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I come to you today asking you to be with us as we come to this moment. For some of us, it's a moment of decision. We're choosing, honestly, whether we're going to follow you or not. We're choosing whether we're going to give our lives to you or not. We're choosing whether you're going to become our door to meaningful and abundant life. Give us the courage, O God, to say to you, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I do believe you are the one thing that I am missing. And I'm asking you to help me to walk through the door that can lead me to the life that you have always wanted me to have. Help us, O Lord, to be the people that you want us to be and to be the church that you want us to be. Help us to be willing to try to reach out and carry a message of hope and light to the world that's around us. This is a day that you've made for us, O Lord. Help us to live into it fully, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Thanks for being here today. Mm-hmm.